Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a podcast about Season 10, Episode 9, Half-Ashed. And I would suggest you watch the episode before listening to this podcast because we kind of talk about the whole thing as, you know, a whole and we don't really go in order. And honestly, it'll just be better if you've seen the episode beforehand. Now, I do know that NYPD Blue is no longer on Hulu or Disney Plus in certain areas. So the only way I know for sure is to get DVDs, but that's not as easy in America. I know that some of the episodes are on YouTube for free. And of course, the internet has the ability to get you things for free, and I would never suggest you do it. But I do suggest watching the episode before listening to this podcast. Also, trigger warning for abuse of children, sexual abuse of children, rape, statutory rape. We're in dark places if you haven't been around a while. So here we go, and I warned you.
All righty, season 10, episode 9, Half-Ashed. Previously on NYPD Blue, hey, a bunch of uniform officers had sex with the same 17-year-old.
Do you think this is where Weezer got their influence for hash pipe?
Half-ashed?
Yeah.
It's not really that close.
Ash, A-S-H, or hash?
Half-ashed.
Half-hashed or half-ashed?
Half-ashed, Kyle.
Like A-S-H-E-D.
Anyway, the reason it's called Half-Ashed is pretty hilarious given the larger surrounding story. And it opens up with the uniform officers.
That was the worst. All three dudes staring at them when they came in. Like,
that was the worst what?
The worst, all three dudes staring at them when they came in. And the way they looked over at them was really bad.
So you know how I said you can't really grab the thing? But
Well, get better equipment. You have your butt plug one. It seems to be working just fine. Get two of them.
Yeah, they're not cheap. Also, you'd have to hold it like this, I think. Anyway, we got a woman. It looks like a suicide. It is a family social work person.
It's weird that they're interviewing her right in front of the dead body.
Hey.
Off.
He's got to pee.
So, once again, all of these uniformed cops seem pretty pissed at these specific detectives, and they don't know why yet.
Yeah.
And,
they make a joke that it's got to be Sip Woods' fault.
When they get in, all of the cops are making it a point that something's wrong. You guys got some balls saying man enough. Because you guys dropped the dime that we were all banging a 17-year-old, you pieces of shit. And you know what the great injustice is, Kyle? You know what's chapping my hide? They think that Sipowitz and John did it. Not that they were banging a child. That's absurd that you'd think we would have told on you guys.
We're not mad.
Oh, he's mad that they didn't go to him first to let him know that they were all begging a child.
So he could ignore it just like the other authority figure did.
And Sibowitz just says, "You're wrong on this." Not wrong, just so we're clear.
on the ratting part.
You're wrong about us ratting.
Yeah. Not that we think that you're a rapist.
No. And that's how the episode is starting. It's called Half-Ashed, Season 10, Episode 9.
You still haven't answered the question.
What?
Ashed?
Yes, like Ash Ashed. My name's Kirk. The other voice is Kyle. Talk
you
about every single episode of NYPD Blue.
Because you keep saying it like a dumbass. So I'm just trying to make sure that I'm understanding what you're saying.
Half?
And you're being a fucking asshole about it.
You're being an asshole about it.
You're being a hash hole about it. How about that?
Kyle, it's half, H-A-F, comma, not comma, hyphen.
How about you half a dick into your mouth so it's quiet?
Ashed.
Like Ash Ketchum.
Yes.
That's all I needed.
No, you need a lot of things. But
well, yeah, but right through the eye.
So
I'm shocked. Like, we're post 9/11 and you're still using a chalkboard? Like, this is wild.
Also,
like we have computers. Like, what?
This is post 9/11 and you're still using a chalkboard.
There's whiteboards. Like,
yeah,
what's
don't
happening?
You know that chalk supports terrorism?
No, we have whiteboards now. Like, what's happening?
Also, I love that they're like, okay, so the social worker's bringing up the files now, and someone goes, who could have told IAB? It's like, well, we got a dead woman who we don't think is a suicide.
We don't care about her.
So, this episode kind of sucks in a lot of ways.
Whose case is it? Because why did Jones and Baldwin take the evidence?
It's everybody's case.
Got it.
Every single one of them is on this one.
This is a 6-on-1.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on in the 15th today.
6-on-1, also known as a police party with that 17-year-old in it. Yeah, I'm the asshole.
I didn't think you know.
I was a famous
You're
face.
The hash hole. Remember that.
Don't Jack McGee. The boss goes, I'm not going to do anything about this until it affects your job. This is why it's called half-ashed.
I remember this story. This is the dumbest shit in the entire world.
And this like, is happening.
Like the person, like 1,000%, 1,000%. Whoever, I forget the name of the man that they're trying to bury, or his ashes they're trying to hide into the precinct.
Yeah.
He'll tell the story. I forget his name. 1,000%. He's an old cop friend from one of these guys that they used to know who passed away, and this is their way of, like, remembering him. So we have this stupid fucking story. There's no one would do this. No one would do this. There'd be no way. No maintenance man would be like, yeah, just go ahead and drop some ashes into the concrete I'm pouring. The fuck? No. They'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Who are you? This is weird.
I'm trying to remember the guy's name, and I can't.
Sipwitz doesn't even remember his name.
Paul Dwyer.
100%. Mike, who's the guy who wrote the book? What's his name? It's over there on the shelf somewhere. I thought I read it. No.
I took it back, I thought.
No, it's right there. Bill Clark. 100% Bill Clark's like third partner.
So what you're basically saying is you never return my book back.
I never gave you back your books. You didn't take them back last weekend, like I said. I forgot to give them to you. But
I'm done with
them. You can take them now. I have to give Dad back his Mitch Albom's books, too.
Did you read The Exorcist?
Yeah, it was good. I was expecting it to be scarier, maybe because of the movie.
It's not as scary as...
It's more about, like, the priest...
And there's a lot more detective shit in it than the movie.
But it's more about the priest's journey and, like, what he's going through and all that, which was cool.
Yeah.
But, no, yeah, it wasn't my favorite of the year.
Yeah, it's not... It was... So, yeah, also, to get back to the show, also, I think this woman is a little bit nutso.
Well, I mean, she's a widow. She lost her husband. I get it. I can understand her, like, wanting, like, it's what her husband wanted. She has the ghost of him, like, haunting her. Like,
what?
Like she says he wanted to be buried in this precinct. He loved being here. This is just to show. What I think the writers are trying to show is, like, how big this precinct is, how many great detectives have been here. There's, like, all this great, like, lore. But... No one, I don't give a shit.
No one gives a shit because nobody knows who the fuck Paul Dwyer is.
I don't give a shit.
He didn't even know who Paul Dwyer was. He's also fighting for the ability to spread this dude's ashes in the precinct. He doesn't even know him.
What would have been cooler is if instead of that was Paul Dwyer, random woman shows up. It's Detective Kelly.
Detective Kelly's ashes?
Yes. Hey, then you have like a conversation about like, but oh man, he died. Sipowicz talks about like the journey of this being like all of the different people who've worked through there, and he wants to put his ashes down. But no one cares. No one cares about Paul Dwyer.
Yeah, you're right. It does kind of feel like them being like, yeah, we really should put a like we should really put a stamp on the fact that we've been doing this for 10 years and it's a popular show. And it's like, but let's bring up a dude that nobody knows that will only establish as a good guy because fucking Gibson shows up halfway through this episode and is like, oh, Paul Dwyer's a great guy.
Paul Dwyer is great. And it's like, okay, well, if Gibson thinks he's great, I have reservations.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the story he tells is like not a good one.
We should have a conversation about this. But
I mean, spoiler alert, because we clearly don't give a shit. Eddie Gibson is like, he saved my life because I went into a building where everybody was related to each other, and they all started attacking me. Paul Dwyer started kicking ass, and just between you and me, he used to be a little too aggressive, but this time it was warranted. It's like, so you basically said the dude beats people.
He beat up a bunch of people that you put yourself in a bad situation and got a bunch of other people beat up.
Yeah.
The whole side thing is like just a waste. They didn't have anything to fill.
Would you say it's half-assed?
And it's kind of a wasted. It's just kind of like, it definitely is something that, like, they were sitting around and Bill Clark's like, I got an idea. This is something that happened, but let's use this name, please. I know a Bill Dwyer and they were awesome.
It was definitely when they're like, just take an index card off the maybe ideas.
Yeah, like, because so, they're all six doing this one thing.
And this whole case is, let's talk to all of these women's extreme cases and get just the greatest hits of terrible homes for kids to be in.
Yeah.
And see if any one of them may have murdered her. And they start with this guy because he is a hunter. He has multiple confirmed reports of abusing all three of his children. And he verbally attacked, and I believe physically attacked, the woman in question, the caseworker. But the cops are upset because he does have his kids back. And you're like, how did that fucking happen? Also, doesn't this dude kind of look like that dude from The Office, the shut up about the sun guy?
Yeah, a little bit. In the eyes. Zach Woods?
Zach Woods, yes. And get closer to the microphone, please, if you could.
Yeah, Zach Woods.
This is the lieutenant's ex-wife's other ex-husband. And he shows up going, hey, your ex-wife, I heard you're back together. She stole my car, and I'd rather you just get it back to me so it doesn't come up in our divorce proceedings. And he's like, stop fucking talking about my ex-wife like that. We're having lots of sex, and I don't appreciate it. Like, that's basically his attitude. And this dude, this Zach Woods motherfucker, is just like, hey, just man-to-man, get out while you can.
Yeah, this is where he says she has a drug problem still.
And he's like, yeah, you're bad woman. You're bad-mouthing a woman that dumped you. And he's like, dude, she's going to put all your money up her nose, man. Just get out. And it's... And I was like, he got really angry with that guy for, like, basically no reason.
Yeah, very quickly.
Famous like, face.
No idea.
You don't know who this is?
No.
Famous face. Well, I would love to say it, but I don't think I'm going to say it right. Magine, M-A-G-E-I-N-E, Magini.
I don't know who this person is.
Magini Tova. She was Ursula in Spider-Man 2. She was the one bringing cookies to Peter Parker, baby.
She was the girl he should have went out with?
Yeah. She was the one that was all about, and she was one, the one, like, basically ready to bang him in Spider-Man 3 when he turns into, like, emo Peter Parker.
And she knew he was Spider-Man, and she kept her mouth shut, too.
No, she didn't.
She knew. She knew.
So you're just saying that she knew?
She knew.
Her whole story is really fucked up. She's got... She's got the AIDS. AIDS, AIDS, AIDS. She's got AIDS.
I thought you were talking about real life, and I was like, no. Whoa, jeez.
The character, Kyle.
Yeah.
The character has AIDS, and she was upset with the caseworker because she said, don't tell my mother that my daughter has AIDS because she will literally put her up for adoption and then I'll never see her. And she had to because she was going to take care of her granddaughter, and yeah. then she ended up putting her up for adoption. And she...
Oh, don't give your kids AIDS.
The way you said
and
that...
And she's turning tricks. That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah, that's a real piece of shit. Like, oh my God. You
that
know,
dude got shot in an earlier episode for that. Remember?
Yeah.
He was out there giving women AIDS, and he got blacked.
This guy made me feel bad because...
Oh, yeah. Feel bad for beating his children?
He never beat his children. The case was the kid fell off his high chair, and he broke something, and the doctor said he thinks it's abuse. The caseworker said it was an accident. The investigator said it was an accident, but they took the doctor's diagnosis. Then, months of them being apart, the kid gets diagnosed with brittle bone disease. They said it was a matter of time, and now he still has to get a lawyer and fight to get the kid back, even though he never should have been taken away in the first place.
Lost his kid in the first place, yeah.
This is a sad story. That's just really fucked
up. So this episode is just like them showing us how bad the social work system is.
Yeah, basically. Not only that, it's, by the way, this one...
Or social services system.
This one woman had all of these cases at the same time.
So are we supposed to feel or understand that this woman may have been bad at her job?
No, I think we were supposed to understand that maybe this is what led her to commit suicide. Was how bad this was. I don't think it was her being bad at the job. It was like she took care of all of this and then had to go home.
She was pretty old, too, so that's many years of this as well.
So I think it's supposed to give you the idea, like, yeah, if you had to do this every fucking day, you would be pretty depressed, too. And this guy threatened her because he said she could have done something if the doctor said it was abuse. And they're like, no, she literally couldn't. The doctor's diagnosis supersedes the caseworker. And then John Clark Jr. is like, this mom taped mittens to her son's hand to keep him from masturbating. I don't want to be that guy. It wouldn't have worked. Guys will figure it out.
Yeah, you just fuck the mitten.
Thank you for saying the quiet part out loud, Kyle. You just lube up them mittens.
Throw some jam on them. They're obviously kitchen mittens, you know?
Why does your underwear smell like raspberries?
I'm more of a peach marmalade, but I see where you're at.
What happened to all of our Knott's Berry Farm raspberry jam?
I see where your head's at.
So fucking Laughlin's like, these motherfuckers.
How is he still there? I thought he retired. He can just fucking hang out?
Apparently. Well, you can hang. Hey, what's a cop? Always a cop. Even when you bang children. And now, and Sipowicz's message here is, hey, I'd be pretty mad if I had to face the consequences of my actions sleeping with a 17-year-old. And I'd be mad at the guys that forced me to deal with that. But we didn't do it. And if you guys keep saying we did, I'm going to fight you. Not for being pedophiles, but for assuming we're the ones that told on you.
For making my reputation bad.
Then we have this fuck. So... this guy, he's a that guy.
He's been a lot of things. It also wouldn't shock me if, like, you told me he got arrested for having, like, kiddie porn on his computer in real life.
He does.
He plays it too well.
He's got that, what was that guy's name that was in Ferris Bueller?
Yes. He was also, yeah, he's in Deadwood too.
Fuck, whatever his name is. He was
now Timothy Busfield. I don't know if you saw that.
Timmy Buss?
I think he got arrested for, like, underage stuff, too.
God damn it, Timmy Buss. More like a Timmy SUV. So...
No, I mean, based off of the... I think it's based off of the age of the women. It's more like Timmy Go-Kart.
So while we're
Timmy
making...
Timmy Tonka trucks.
Absolutely stupid jokes. This guy was...
Timmy Stroller is what it should be. The sound of it.
This guy had his son taken away because he was just, you know, showing his son how to put on a condom by putting it on his own erect penis. Showing his son how to masturbate by masturbating in front of him.
How else would someone learn?
And his son was taken away because he refused to go to therapy, which was all he was charged with. Hey, you have to go to therapy because this isn't right. Because in his mind, I didn't do anything wrong. And he says, they said that this woman died, and he laughed it off and said, well, that's just karma, because she took my son away from me.
I mean, what's better? What he does, or like a parent who never talks about sex?
So I don't want to be that guy, but that's his argument later in the episode when it is revealed that he's the killer. So, I don't want to say you kind of nailed it on the head there, Kyle, but...
I mean, I would never kill anyone over it, but, like, you know.
Well, it is kind of weird, and by kind of weird, wrong, to do that to explain it to your child. I think there are ways to do it without being so explicit.
Okay, let's move on.
Shut up, Kyle. I don't know.
Like, so showing my rock hard dick to my kid is not on the list of things to do as a dad?
Got it. Oh, God.
Unless they're like sons, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Got it. Cool. I'll make sure to note that.
Oh, God.
Let me call my friends right now. Hey.
Don't do that.
Danny. Yeah. Don't show your kid your dick.
I don't know if he wants you to use his name.
Danny is the most generic name in the world, Kirk. God.
And his address is... I'm just kidding. So this dude, this one was fucked up too because they bring this guy in and he's like, hey man, I'm chill. You know, I was just out there drinking beers by the river. No big deal. And they're like, hey, so we're not listening to you because you raped your 5-year-old. And he's like, that was a misunderstanding. And he's like, yeah, not according to everybody that reported it. So...
She didn't act like she was 5.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, we don't care. Again, we don't care.
We're not going to leave that in because of how it could be taken out of context. So they're only a quarter away through the files, and they're like, every one of these parents should be hung up on Fifth Avenue, according to John, the PAA.
You know, that's not fair, though. No one's looking at the children. What are the children doing?
You know what?
Like, one of them is just running around in a circle screaming for 95% of the time, like, and you can't do anything about it. I think after 2 years, I might want to slam it into a wall.
Kyle, I'm going to say it. Hashtag brave of you.
Who's thinking of the parents, huh?
So this psycho woman comes in, and he's like, we can't do it, lady. And she's like, that's not what he wanted. And he said, my boss said no. And then she's just like, okay. And then she walks out all sad. And Sibowitz is like, I'm going to have to go to bat for this guy. I don't know.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You literally can, like, let it go.
This woman came to eat this part up, and she did the entire time.
Yeah.
God damn. I remember a couple episodes ago we mentioned... the woman who had tude, and she had tude brows.
Yeah.
This woman is just radiating tude. Just tude top to bottom. And she does something that I've never seen happen, which is she gets pissed that they interrupt her while she's talking, which I don't think I've ever seen on the show, where she starts to go into something, and Rita tries to interrupt her, and she goes, excuse me, did I interrupt you? And it's like, oh, shit, okay. But she does make a decent point. She was... So, she was on public assistance to take care of her two kids. They took her off of it, so she had to get two jobs. And then they said she couldn't let her oldest watch her youngest. And she's like, well, what would you like me to do? And then she mentions that her mom was watching the kids, but then the one day she couldn't make it, the woman down the hall called and said that her kids weren't getting taken care of and they got taken away. And now she has supervised visits, but she's going to get her kids back. And it was like, well, you know, I admire that tenacity. I admire that drive, that determination. And then...
She reminds me of so many people from Trader Joe's. So many New Yorkers from Trader Joe's. Like, so many when, like, you ask them about somebody, and then you're like, well, the reason I'm asking you is because, like, you know, so-and-so, like, doesn't... Like, hey, what do you know about so-and-so? Just go off on them. It's like, oh, yeah, well, they just got transferred because, you know, they're about to get fired. It's like, oh, well, sorry about that. Like,
I didn't want him to die.
Like, I didn't want him to lose his job, but, like, you know, he was creepy.
Sipowicz fucking held up a finger to his boss.
He's on the phone. What do you want him to do?
He's insubordinate.
That's not that bad.
But he's insubordinate. We can't.
No, 100%, but that's not as bad compared to some other shit he's done.
He's done some shit. This is how they... Oh, fucking bartends. Time for him to eat spoonfuls of shit for no reason. They basically just bring him up to yell at him that you need to tell them that this didn't come from us.
And Martens has the correct reaction.
Which is, well, you should be in trouble because you didn't say anything.
1,000%. You both should be up into this investigation. And to be honest, you both should not be detectives anymore.
Yeah, because you detected a pretty big crime and did not report it.
It's not like it's like three guys did it. It's like
the whole
20 plus. Like,
yeah. It's almost like, and this woman is just sad, and I don't think she's a good actress, no offense. They said she's bipolar and she medicates with meth, and she's just like, oh, so I just go for it at every scene? Okay, I got you. But it's almost like they go, well, guys, it's not that big a deal because she wanted to have sex with a lot of older men. And it's like, well.
No, the response is she didn't act 17. That's their like main response. All like you said earlier in the last episode, all the guys say is like she didn't act it. That's always been the
That's what every dude says.
Every dude says who gets caught with underage, like, well, she wasn't acting it. It's like, what? It doesn't matter how much she was acting. What does her birth certificate say?
Yeah, this is when you act like an adult.
Yeah.
And you don't do that shit. But yeah, I feel like this scene must have gone longer and they just snipped it up and it was like, yeah, she's bipolar. You know bipolars. They're crazy. They're crazy. And it's like... Yeah, a lot of these scenes with these random parents are way too short and shitty. So something we talked over, they're getting closer to who actually did the shooting because the gun was very, very specific.
I like this guy.
He's very good.
Yeah.
And they traced it to a box of guns that were stolen out of JFK, and one was sold to an ATF agent undercover. So they got this guy for having some of them, and it happens to be the same gun from the same lot as that one. So they're bringing this guy in to figure out who he sold the other one to. And this guy is playing dumb, like, I only sell booze. And if you have a tape of me selling a gun to an ATF agent, then show it to me before I just admit to it. And Sipowicz gets really fucking racist with him.
Yeah.
And
guy.
He gets really racist with him. And then John Jr.'s reaction is like, hey, let's start over. And the way they start over, I think, is actually kind of very comedic. Where he's like, we're going to leave and we're going to come back and it's a different day. All right. And I feel like if this was earlier Sipowicz, he'd be really pissed that he did this. But since it's latter-day Sipowicz, who's apparently super chill, he's just cool with John Jr. calling this.
I also, by the look on his face, I don't think he understands what John's doing.
No, not at all. He doesn't get it at all.
He doesn't get it.
Usually he would just yell because he doesn't understand.
And because when he comes back in, the guy is cooperative, he just goes with it.
Take back the comment. It's just like, what? He still called you that. And not only is he cooperative, he's like super chill cooperative. Where he's just like, here's what happened.
He's already fucked. That's why. He's fucked with a federal charge.
So he's just like, here's what happened.
It doesn't matter. It's better off if he tells them. It helps him in his bigger case, because then they can say, hey, he helped us on this. Instead of giving him 50, give him 45. Like,
and it's also funny how he's like, yeah, I sold it to this weirdo. I only did it because another guy vouched for him. And then when he sees the picture, he's like, yeah, that's the weirdo. Also, the episodes now are getting weirdly edited. And Gibson tells the story about Paul Dwyer. And Gibson's like, he's the greatest guy ever. And it gave me the... You got derailed by him. The way this episode ends, I was like, why did they edit it with that button? But it's just him telling a story about how he went into a situation that was bad, and then Dwyer came in and was just like kicking ass and taking names, which he does all the time, but this time it was appropriate. This time it was okay. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this time it was fine.
And then like, what? Who cares? What? Why would John even give a shit?
Very true.
Like, John is like, So guess what? It turns out to be the weirdo you were defending earlier, even sarcastically.
I wasn't defending. I mean, he's wearing a duster with jeans, so that's pretty creepy.
That's your problem? I also love this. Because Sipowicz just lays it out. Because he just goes, I don't like you. This one, I love what Sipowicz does this one, where he's like, clearly you're a smart guy. You understand what's going on here. You figure it out. Like, do you want to get killed or do you want to go to prison? Ugh, this fucking weirdo. You got to command your sexuality or your sexuality will command you. I want that on a shirt.
Is he the Sphinx? We don't know. We don't ever see the Sphinx's face. He could be.
It's definitely not the Sphinx. But what I love is when we did the first episode like this, where we're watching it on DVD in a commentary style, you made the joke, who's going to listen to this anyway while watching it? I was like, people who watch commentary is like, what, like you throw on Mystery Men and you throw on the commentary? So it's just like the longest joke set up to call this guy the Sphinx.
Is the Sphinx?
I don't know. I like the Sphinx. I don't like to think that the Sphinx would do that to his son.
But the Sphinx would, if you don't command your sexuality
will command you. Is anyone finding this a little formulaic? If you don't master your rage will become your master. That's what you're going to say, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
He's merely the vessel of her karma because he shot her.
Facilitated her.
And he's like, you wouldn't understand. And John Jr. being clever with the last line. Good. Yeah.
So clever.
He's fucking nailed it. So this whole scene is just the cops complaining to the lawyer that one of the guys got his kids back when he was abusive. And she's like, what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, she's like, that had nothing to do with me. Like, I don't think I even, like, knew about that case until right now.
And she says exactly how it happened. The dude moved out of the county, which gets him a whole new group of people to talk to, and he did all of the recommended things, so he got his kids back. That's not something you can just decide doesn't count.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, if you're really that upset, arrest him with something. Find him committing a crime.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, maybe he's being inappropriate with a 17-year-old. Oh, wait, that's just your cops. You know what I think? I think we need to talk about all these kids not acting their age. You did that earlier about the kids. You made that same joke. This maintenance guy, one of the worst single episode actors ever. Cement. So this guy's going to be cementing over part of a bathroom. And Sipowicz goes, cool, we're just going to mix some ashes in. You're going to be cool with that, right?
Yeah, don't say anything.
Also, like, who?
Oh.
Hey, guess what? They're boning. I do enjoy that the bra she's wearing is like, hey, I've got boobs. Have you seen them? They're right here. Bringing them right up into your face.
Don't worry. I'm trying to have it look like they're coming out of my chin.
Got them chin boobs. And he goes, hey, your other ex-husband showed up, said you stole a car, and just want to make sure you're not doing coke, and then she gets offended. So, this, honestly, let's be honest with each other. Let's be honest. Let's be real.
Let's be honest.
If she was actually clean and we were going to move forward in a world where she is now clean and she's got it taken care of,
mm-hmm.
then this scene is necessary. If we move forward and she relapses and immediately becomes a fuck up, then this scene just seems stupid.
Why do you say that?
Because this is kind of like a double down on the idea that, no, I am okay. When it's like, well, we've only seen you for like 2 episodes. I don't know if you're okay. You know what I mean? Same thing with Connie's sister, where it's like, no, I'm changing my life. It's like, I didn't even know you had a life. I didn't know you existed like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, fair.
But if this scene was like, oh, the beginning of her being like, I'm cool, and then they have like a long relationship and then she relapses, it makes more sense to me. This is just being like, hey, she's an addict, remember? Guess what? She's gonna be an addict again. Well, she's always an addict. She's gonna relapse again. Speaking of scenes that actors thought they were going to get some Emmys. He doesn't call any of them refs. I mean, that was a basketball game. So, we joked about how John Jr. said, like, hey, so turned out by IAB, maybe that's why you're drinking. And he's like, we're never talking about that again. And then he's like, so you're the only person I told about the guys. And he's like, so what does that mean? He's like, well, what do you think it means, dude?
Yeah,
it's I feel like that dude is a good actor, and somehow Mark Paul Gosselaar brings out bad acting in him, which is mean. But he's like, Tell me. He is Nicolas Caging right now, but he's not Nicolas Cage.
Tell me.
Because he's like, oh, man, I am upset. I need to take my rage out on your Hummels.
Why the Hummels, though? Like,
No tears out of his eyes.
Like, those are worth something now.
I just feel like they're both not really doing really good in this scene. But it's supposed to be like the dramatic moment.
Yeah, but MPG's not dramatic, though. That's the problem.
And then we have this scene where this guy's like, I did not fucking sign up for this today. I was here to fix a pipe and cover it up with cement. And now I got to do this shit with these old people.
Now I'm running a funeral.
And she's like, can I say some words? And he's like, I got shit to do today.
Yeah, I got 4 other work orders I got to finish.
So,
now, wouldn't that mess up the consistency of the
cement?
Yeah, wouldn't you have to add like some more water to it, brother?
I was about to say, because I don't know the ins and outs of cement, but I was like, you can't just do that, right?
I mean, you can add. I think you can, because I don't think it's going to do anything to the cement to mess it up. But I think you'd have to add more water, because then it would be too
chalky. Because I do know, I have not done cement work myself, but I've seen it done in small batches.
Sure,
at a previous. Oh, excuse me, I'll be over here fucking myself. What do you mean?
Oh, that's what that noise is, that constant flap, 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 flap.
I've seen people do cement work at a previous job, and I do know that you have to mix it. If it's a small batch.
Eye rolls.
Never mind. Because apparently talking about it is a waste of time because I don't know what I'm talking about. I just thought when you add something to it, shouldn't that be like something he talks about ahead of time so he plans for it?
Yeah, 100%.
Like that's not something you could just add to it and then.
You could as long as you had some water next to you.
But.
Because the more chalk you add, it's going to get chalkier or more like. So then you'd have to have water, and you'd have to mix it up. You'd have to get that right.
So we found out in this episode that...
the best way to probably to do it would be, like, pull out how much concrete you need that's when it's dry, and then put the ashes in it and mix it like that.
So, I mean, the biggest revelation, John's dad told IAB about the dudes. But what I don't understand is he just told him offhand at the bar. So how did John's dad give him enough specific information for them to call those dudes so fast?
I think he gave him more than that. And I think they also made it sound like they hung out more after the bar. So what we saw was them have that conversation, and then his dad went to the bathroom probably to call IAB. And then I think they hung out more at the bar. Got more information from John Jr. And then the next day when he went into IAB, he had more information to give out.
All right. But
that's just from other episodes. That's just from what's happened before.
Why am I putting my shoe on? That's not what I
have no idea. I thought you were being very weird right now.
What was I going to say? Again, we're now in this weird storyline where the issue is not that these gentlemen were abusing their power and abusing a child. It's that people found out about it. And how did they find out about it? And who's at fault about it being found out about? And
yeah, and don't call me a rat because I didn't rat on you for having sex with underage girls.
And
girl, sorry.
And the next episode is going to deal with the after.
Dr. Dre?
So the next episode is probably going to deal with how we deal with that. And that's insane. And the other big thing of this episode was, hey, being a social worker kind of sucks for your mental health.
Yeah, that's why there's like, a call for them. Like, we need more social workers from what I hear.
Yeah.
It also doesn't pay well. That's the other shitty thing.
Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough episode with very rough themes. And the story in the background is also rough and kind of fucked up and crazy. And then
there's story, the concrete?
No, the girl. But it's also fucked up that they then make the third story just like, so the guy wants his ashes spread, and God, it's just turned into a big headache. Like, the fact that it's literally that's the third thing that's happening is so bonkers bananas.
Yeah, Sipwood spends most of his time dealing with that instead of, like, trying to solve the case.
It's like, hey, we've discovered an insane tale of corruption and abuse amongst some of the people we talk to every day are involved in. And you know what the third story is? Menavoy locked his keys in his car. Like, it's like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's weird.
The third storyline is so bananas stupid. They brought in fucking Gibson. That's how, like, it is. They brought Gibson back for a scene.
2 seconds.
It's like,
that is very weird now that you point it out like that.
But that was half-ashed. It's where we're at in the show. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It's how people see the podcast. And more importantly, they might check out the best show ever, NYPD Blue. If you just need more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There's What Would Sipwits Do, a collection of articles about the show. There's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon. I believe it's 99 cents. And there are two in-world stories by Max Allen Collins, Blue Bloods and Blue Beginnings. Pretty decent reads, and if you find them for a decent price, jump on them because they're not decent on Amazon anymore. Anyway, we're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, mostly just mentioning when new episodes are out. We're terrible at interacting with fans and listening to fans. We don't have fans. We're terrible at interacting with people, and we're doing our best just to keep the schedule. But I hope you have a good one. I hope you like this and like it as we continue. Have a good one. Be good to yourself and others. Peace.